Our first reading today is from Isaiah 9th chapter. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult with dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you will be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I have baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I did not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not the eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So last week we heard the story of Jesus calling the first disciples from the Gospel of John, and then this week we hear Matthew's version. And the two gospel writers provide very different versions, and they each include details that emphasize their themes and the parts of the gospel story that they want to lift up. Matthew provides historical and scriptural references that highlight the fact that the story takes place during difficult political times. The people are living under Roman occupation. John the Baptist has been arrested. So this story of Jesus, the light of Christ, dawns in the midst of great darkness. And while John highlights the fact that the first to follow Jesus were disciples of John the Baptist, Matthew makes no mention of that, and instead he lifts up the fact that they were fishermen. So these two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew and James and John, all four of them are fishermen. Long before they were immortalized as Saint Peter and Saint John, these brothers were making their living from fishing boats, doing normal, everyday things. And I love the fact that Matthew highlights that, reminds us of that. The gospel writer doesn't glamorize who these men were, which is such a gift for us. The gospel writer shows us the disciples as real people, normal, everyday people. And that's my favorite thing about how the disciples are immortalized in Scripture. Despite all the gilding that comes later in religious artwork and in, you know, sainthood, through the Gospels, the disciples are clearly portrayed as regular people, people who were not perfect, people who regularly made mistakes. And in fact, the stories that were passed down about the first disciples often show them looking pretty foolish. They misunderstood Jesus. They blundered. They stick their foot in their mouth. They doubt. And they get things wrong all the time. The gospel writers make very clear the fact that discipleship is not about being perfect. Discipleship is not about having perfect faith. Being a disciple is about one thing and one thing only, and that is following Jesus. When Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, and then again when he calls James and John, all any of them do is follow. That's it. All they do is follow. And that's it. They're disciples. They didn't go looking for Jesus. They didn't apply for the job, and they had absolutely no qualifications. But when Jesus called out to them, they got up and followed. And that is what made them disciples. It's a really simple point, but it's also a really important one, because it reminds us that discipleship isn't some exclusive club, but this open call, because Jesus calls out to us to follow. Jesus calls out to each one of us to be his disciples. No matter what job we have or our family situation, no matter how old we are or what our background is, every single one of us is called to discipleship, is called to follow Jesus. So what does that mean, right? What does that look like? Where is Jesus calling you to follow in your life? Sort of weird, but the disciples didn't ask Jesus where he was going when he told them to follow. But the gospel writers tell us anyways. After the four fishermen begin to follow, we, the readers, are told exactly where Jesus went. Jesus went out to proclaim the gospel, the good news of God's love. He went out to care for the sick and the suffering. And the story keeps going after these verses, where Jesus goes on to teach and preach the Sermon on the Mount, where he lifts up peacemakers and mercy givers and feeds thousands of hungry people. That is where Jesus is going. And that is where the disciples followed him. As he shared the love of God, as he cared for the sick, as he taught peace and extended mercy, as he fed the hungry. And that is where we are called to follow as well. So what does that look like in your life? Where is Jesus calling you? In your home life, your social life, at work, at school? Where is Jesus calling you to stop and notice someone who's hurting? To see them, talk to them, care about them? Where is Jesus calling you to extend mercy or to forgive someone? Where is Jesus calling you to feed the hungry, to donate food or money or time to help others in our community or around the world? Where is Jesus calling you to share God's love? I don't know what it looks like in your everyday life, but I do know that the call is there. Everywhere you go and in everything you do, Jesus is calling you to follow. That's the thing about discipleship. It's a call on every part of us. And it comes again and again every day of our lives. It's a call that pulls each of us out into the world to follow Jesus in all that we do. Look at those first four fishermen. The call to follow, it interrupted and disrupted everything in their life. Their family life, their work life, everything. The call to follow isn't some part-time or partial change. It's a whole life change. Jesus called, and the disciples followed. They left everything to follow Jesus. Their work, their families, the certainty of knowing what to expect, to follow a man who hadn't even told them where he was going. One scholar describes this story as Jesus's first miracle, because he simply speaks the words, "Follow me," and the fishermen follow. And that is pretty miraculous. And it also highlights another really important point, because the call to discipleship is disruptive, but it's also powerful and empowering. It's a power that comes from the one who is calling. It was the power of the call that enabled those first disciples to follow, not their own strength or their own faith or their own courage. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear that, because there are days when it feels too hard, like I'm up against too much. There are days when I don't feel strong enough to stand up against the cruelty and hatred that I read in the news. And so I need to be reminded that it's not all on me. I need to be reminded that just as we are called by Jesus, we are also strengthened and empowered by him. We are given the strength and the courage that we need to follow. The strength and the courage to stand up again and again, even in the face of hatred, even when we get it wrong. The strength and the courage to not give up, but to once again stand up and follow Jesus and share God's love. That's the call to discipleship. The call to follow. It's a call that comes every single day, and it's a call that looks different for each of us. But wherever Jesus is calling you in your life, Know that you're not on your own. The one who calls you will fill you up, will give you the strength and the courage that you need to stand up and follow. Thanks be to God.